Okay, Alan, you take the lead.
Okay, on the call we have Marika Koenig from ICANN staff, Steve Holston from VeriSign, Matt Sterlin from Mark Monitor, and Alan Greenberg on behalf of the ALAC, and Avery Doria, who is here in
NomCom appointee capacity.
Okay. The question we started discussing a little bit before the call was, if we've had this much trouble getting people involved in the drafting team, is that a sign that there really is not a lot of interest in this and we're going to have a hard time getting a PDP working group together, or is it just a measure of people are overwhelmed at this point? Any thoughts?
This is Marika. I have a slight suspicion that it might be more of the second, because I know there are many working groups going on, several PDPs ongoing, and I think there are a lot of meetings at the moment as well, and of course all leading up to the Mexico meeting. So that's my personal assessment.
And this is Steve. In the registry constituency meeting, when this drafting session was raised, it was largely, it seemed to be a sentiment that people were overwhelmed. There wasn't a particular discussion about whether there was interest, but rather when asking for people to raise their hands and volunteer, there weren't a lot of takers.
Okay.
So that brings up the issue, because at the moment what we're facing is we've got to do a PDP vote. And by bylaws, I have to bring the vote up real soon now. I mean, we're already beyond the chartered time, but we don't worry about that too much. But I do need to bring up... Hello? But I do need to bring up the PDP vote soon. Now, what we've been normally doing these days is first chartering a working group, and then... Or putting the working group and PDP vote in the same motion, but I need a charter first if I'm going to do that. And so that the question becomes, even if people aren't interested, do we have enough people that have the bandwidth to do a working group on this at the moment? Or do I want to do, I don't want to do, if I follow the bylaws, strictly speaking, I call for a PDP. If we cross the one-third threshold, then I call for a task force, which is basically one person from each constituency, and then we go at that. And if the task force fails, then we can come back to doing a charter. But we haven't been following that pattern lately. So I have to do something. Tomorrow is when I write up the agenda for the next council meeting. My inclination is to put something there, but if we're going to actually do something concrete in terms of a charter, I'll wait longer, and I'm going to go on mute.
The next council meeting being
a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
The 19th is our next council meeting. That's the last council meeting until the face-to-face meeting in Mexico City.
Avery, one more question. Do we normally these days have a charter before voting on, or do we vote on a PDP and then charter, then put together a working group?
It's still, because we're still creating the revised system, it's flexible. The bylaws say vote for PDP, vote for task force. If no task force, then it's a committee as a whole sort of thing. What we've been doing lately is either before the PDP vote or as part of the PDP vote, we have been creating the working group. But there's absolutely no rules on it. It's just if I don't have a chartered working group before the PDP vote, then I have to move on to a task force vote. When that one fails, then we figure it out. Or we end up doing an old-fashioned task force, which I think everyone would hate.
No, that's not going to happen. I mean, the task force votes routinely are unanimously defeated, or pretty close. I... the only question in my mind is the recommendation in the GNSO, in the issues report, does say, before you go too much further, see what other information is available. And the question is, do we want to do that as a step prior to initiating the PDP, or do we want to do that as the first step of a PDP?
Maybe you mentioned there as well something that the registration abuse policies drafting team has done or will do probably later by tomorrow is actually propose indeed that a pre-step before actually talking about initiating a PDP or not to indeed do further research and information gathering, which was a very strong recommendation in that context. And I think in this one there is well some issues that could be considered, but it's something that's being done in other groups as well, and will be discussed, I think, in that matter as well for by the team. So.
Marika, do you get a sense that there is a lot of information that is really available? Because when drafting the issues report, the feeling we got was a lot of it is going to be hearsay and anecdotal, and there isn't a lot of hard evidence.
Correct. And I think probably most of the issues, as you know, having done a lot of the research, is more a question of talking with the different stakeholders to see indeed if there's, you know, people feel that changes need to be made in view of their experiences, and as well taking into account you know, the possible consequences of changes that will be required.
Just so you know, Alan, I'm more than willing also to put forward a motion that says we're going to either do the following information gathering or request the following information gathering, and we set this deadline and we will postpone the PDP vote until that date. That kind of motion has been done, and we could do that.
Is there a way as well to, I mean, this is a question, is there a way to initiate the PDP but actually not start it until a later date to give people, for example, time until the Mexico meeting or, you know, just after that to finish up some of the work that everyone's involved with now? Or
I think certainly if we have a charter that says, you know, we're approving this chartering of this working group and we're going to spend the time and it will kick off. I mean, we've got really a lot of flexibility now while we're in this trial and error of how the new system works. And I think the one rule that we've followed and that I pretty much insist on is that whatever we do it deliberately with a motion and make sure that, you know, we're not just flipping into something or forgetting to do something, that we're deliberate. We say we'll do this, we'll do that. We take a vote on it, and then we follow through.
I mean, if you look at the staff recommendations, there's a pretty clear list of functions there of things to consider in a possible PDP. I would not be unhappy with taking those. We need to read over the section and see if there's any changes we need to make or additions, but I would be moderately happy in taking that and initiating a PDP. Do we really need to do more study or preparation in addition to that? I mean, if that's what we're going to do, I'm certainly happy to draft something. Anyone still there?
You mean you're willing to take the first crack at drafting up a charter?
Yes.
Because I think that's the first thing somebody has to do.
I mean, I don't think it's going to get done in time for this council meeting, but it would be done in time for Mexico City.
Okay. Now the meeting in Mexico City, any motions we vote on in the public meeting.
Understand.
Okay.
Now, of course, I can't make the motion, so someone else is going to have.
That's okay.
Someone else on council is going to have to play with me.
I will make any motion. In other words, I cannot make motions unless they're formal procedural ones. But I'll make any motion that comes out of this drafting team. So that's not a problem. I'll take that since I'm the only council member participating at the moment.
All right. I'll be honest. I didn't realize this meeting was being held until yesterday, and so I haven't done an awful lot of preparation for it. I think, however, that we can come up with a charter which pretty clearly echoes what is in the staff recommendation. So it's clearly within scope. there may be a few things that we want to look at in addition to that. But I think
one of those issues, Alan, probably is this question of transfer of a domain name in RGP, which was raised as well in the question, one of the questions that was raised, I think, by Chuck on one of the council meetings. That's probably something for the group to consider, whether that should be included in the charter or
let's,
be left to the IRGP.
Let's do that one first, since that's actually the first point that's mentioned after the actual bullets in the recommendations. The question is, currently the RGP, which is not a consensus policy, but does not allow a domain transfer during the RGP. The issues report suggested that allowing it would be a good thing. The issues report said that it may fit well in the inter-registrar transfer policy, PDPC. I have no strong feelings about it. To be honest, it was not one of the really hot points in the request for the issues report. It was put in because a number of people suggested it, and it would make the whole process uniform. That is, at any point you could switch registrars if you were unhappy with how your current registrar was acting. I have no real problem tossing that one over into the IRTPC, unless someone else feels strongly otherwise.
And just maybe to add a little bit of background, because in the question asked by the council is why we made this recommendation, and looking at the initial discussions on the RGP, this question of a transfer in the RGP was already raised in that context. But at that point, they said, let's maybe wait until a second phase or, you know, potential review of RGP further down the road, because allowing a transfer in RGP will bring with it certain technical and procedural complications that will need to be carefully addressed. So as understood from that process, they said, let's first just get RGP going and maybe in the second phase consider this possibility of transfer of a domain name in RGP.
I have no problem with that. Does anyone else have any thoughts?
I'm kind of new to this,
okay.
So I'm not sure how specific you need to be in the charter as opposed to, as in 4.2, those recommendations that you consider more information on fairly broad topics. Is that not what should go in the charter, but rather much more specific action items to address?
I think we're, Avery can correct me, but I think we're pretty flexible in what the charter says, whether it's simply, it comes down to specific points or simply points back to the issues, the recommendations in the issues report.
Yeah, it is flexible. What we've seen from other working groups is that a more explicit charter of what they're supposed to do is a good thing.
Okay.
So if we can sort of be explicit, you know, and then the other thing we tag on, since we don't actually have formal procedures for working groups yet, I would suggest we just tag on reference to the working team methods that are being developed in the and those other committees. But an explicit, you know, do this, this, and this, and develop that is actually better, and you know, giving some notion of these are the things they need to do, and look at some of the previous charters that we've done. I think, Marika, and you can confirm this, that the one that we did for IRTP Part A was a good one, or at least it worked.
Certainly, we in the case of the transfer during RGP, we could certainly take it on and, as part of a recommendation, say it would be better handled somewhere else. But that the timing may be dicey for that, because IRTPC may in fact start before we get to the point of making any recommendations. I had another question for Marika. If you remember the issues report request very clearly said we are looking at both how registrars and how resellers treat things. And the answer to the case, it was not mentioned at all in the issues report, I don't believe. But the verbal answer that came back is really consensus policies can only address what contracted parties do and not their resellers.
Correct. As I understand, that was part of the RAA amendments to have that extended. But I think as it currently stands, it is only limited to registrars and registries.
But accredited. But surely the I haven't reread the full RAA recently, but surely the RAA does include some provision that a registrar must make sure its resellers honor the rules that are there. Otherwise, simply having a reseller says all consensus policies and all other rules are void. So surely there is currently something in there which says any rules a registrar has must be carried out by their reseller.
I don't know if maybe Matt knows more about that.
Yeah, I actually don't believe it currently does. I think that's part of the revision of the RAA is to include that, so the new version will include it, but I don't think currently it includes this provision.
So simply having a reseller says you're not obliged to follow any of the rules that ICANN has made regarding domain names?
Yeah, in Syria.
Is it that gross?
Well, I presume that's between the registrar and the reseller, but I don't think that's anything that can do anything about. I guess the registrar could say, well, you know, if you're not following certain rules that I like or that we agreed between each other, then, you know, I terminate my agreement with you. But I don't think ICANN's arm stretches that far, as I understand.
But you're saying that ICANN cannot, and ignoring the fact that our enforcement, we don't have a lot of granularity in enforcing the contract, but ignoring that, you're saying ICANN has no ability to terminate a registrar's agreement if they use resellers to essentially bypass all the rules? That cannot be the case.
That sounds like we need to actually look more carefully at the RAA
to see exactly what it says,
because it would be very surprising if you had a contractual paradigm where you didn't have slowdowns and that you could subcontract things out and you would therefore do an end run around your actual obligation.
Exactly. Clearly ICANN doesn't have a lot of ability to enforce little things, you know, which are not major breaches, but nevertheless. Okay. I think we need to do a little bit more research. Marika, could I ask you to talk to the sorry, my mind has gone blank.
It would probably be a good idea to frame any questions that we think need more research, and that might be, you know, a worthwhile activity, you know, to do on the list or, you know, somewhere else. I don't know if we set up a list for this, but setting one up is
yes,
trivial.
But
if we have questions for legal, it's really best if they're written in frame.
Okay.
As opposed to just sort of throwing one off and leaving Marika stuck with trying to make sure that she covers the intent of our question. I mean, obviously,
I'm sorry, she can do it. I'm back. I just got disconnected. Sorry.
Okay. We were basically just talking about framing a question to legal, and I was saying it is better that we frame it and get it written and make sure it says what we're asking, as opposed to just throwing something off to you and saying, Marika, please go ask. Obviously, you're free to ask any question of legal anything anytime you want, but if this team wants a specific legal question answered, I think we should get it written.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. I'm not quite sure where we go at this point.
It sounds to me like I've read writing stuff.
I've read charters, but I haven't actually focused enough on them. So if you say the PDP, the IRTPA is a good one as a model, I'll take a look at that and in the next several days try to have a first crack at drafting
And I'll do a couple iterations with you if you like.
Okay.
Just to, you know, make sure everything's covered.
No, I've taken the luxury of feeling since I don't have to do these kind of things, I haven't paid as much attention as I might have otherwise.
But as I'll
get up to speed.
And I'm happy to help as well, Alan. I've just been working as well on the charter for the other working group, so I'm happy as well to help drafting that.
Okay. So essentially what we're saying is we would like to see a PDP initiated at the Mexico meeting. That PDP may well require that there may well be some investigation work that's done as the first step of the PDP. From my point of view of the initiator, I think that's a better solution than doing another intermediate step first. This is one of those issues where ICANN is continually being criticized for not taking action and actually starting some real process, which then is bound to continue, I think, is a good sign.
And Marika, you and I can figure out how to cut up this PDP, because PDPs require a very low threshold and forming working groups require a higher threshold, so we can cut it up into the right pieces for the separate votes.
Okay, perfect. And Alan, maybe just to mention as well, from enforcement compliance side, they're actually going to publish shortly a report where they actually did an audit of the question, do registrars have the information auto-renewal and deletion policies on their website? So from an ICANN side, they're already working as well on some of the issues that we raised here as being in the compliance corner.
I'm looking forward to the answer. I just got some email a few days ago from a very unhappy person whose name was sold without his knowledge until it actually got sold. And I went to the particular registrar, and he actually dealt with a registrar, not a reseller. And indeed, all the rules are there. It's the bloody longest agreement that you ever could see. And it, of course, includes a provision saying it can be unilaterally changed at any point by the registrar without any notice. So, yes, it's posted.
Well, but I do believe, and this is probably another compliance question, that in relation to auto renewal and expiration policies, there is a requirement to inform the registrant of changes.
Indeed, if the email still works.
Yeah.
We're not saying that anyone is innocent completely in this thing, but very often, for one reason or another, the people don't find out until the page switches to someone else. And in this particular case, the guy had built up a big business, and it was a good domain name for someone else to take over. Okay.
Well, I also think tracking these things, if you've got something like a 10-year term, who can think 10 years from now and remember to keep track of everything?
Well, it's not a particularly good process. I mean, if nothing else, one would think that we could still use telephone and paper mail if necessary, but at $9 a domain, how much do you expect a registrar to do?
Right.
I think we're as done as we're going to be at this meeting. I'll try to get something out in the next few days. And I thank you for participating.
Okay,
I look forward to some active comments on the mailing list.
Yeah, I think that's it. We just need to keep working on the list.
Okay.
Very good. I'll be happy to assist however I can. And Avery, when this goes, when the charter drafts are written, those of us on the call will review and provide comments. Do we also take those back to the various constituencies at that point, or at what point do we?
I think that's really up to you in terms of how you and your constituency work on things together. Certainly, the constituency will have at least a week to read it and talk about it before we have the vote. We have that 7-day requirement,
Okay.
But it really depends on how you work with your constituency. There's not a formal go-to-constituency review period.
Okay, terrific. And I have abundant access to Chuck, so he can help me guide
and
help to guide me through all of that, too.
And you guys have more formal procedures than the other constituencies in terms of, you know, making decisions as a constituency and voting as a block. So your rules would definitely be different than another constituency.
That's great.
Yep.
Hey, and the last thing I wanted to just note is that issues report on post-expiration domain name recovery, I thought was a very well-written and clear report, even as somebody fairly new to all of this. It made clear what the issues were, I think, very effectively.
Well, that's Marika, I believe.
Well done, Marika.
Thank you very much. Thank
well
you.
Done.
Okay. Thanks to the rest of the ICANN team to help with this, of course.
Okay, well, good talking to y'all.
Anything else?
See you on the list.
All right, I thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye.